The book of 2 Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul around 67 AD to his son-like apprentice Timothy. Sensing that his life was nearing an end while once again in prison in Rome, Paul speaks beyond his circumstances to encourage Timothy's perseverance in the faith. Paul thanks God for Timothy and his family's upbringing, which laid the strong scriptural foundation for his faith in Jesus. He goes on, encouraging Timothy to not be ashamed of the gospel or of himself, as many had lost respect for him due to his repeated imprisonment. Considering the undoubted suffering ahead for Timothy, Paul likens following Jesus to an athlete training or a farmer working, willing to sacrifice and face challenges to accomplish a greater goal. He calls Timothy to a faithfulness like Jesus' faithfulness to the Father. Pointing to the inevitable false teaching that will rise up in the church, Paul encourages Timothy to keep advocating for submission to the authority of God's word. He affirms Scripture as divinely breathed by God, used to challenge the thoughts and behaviors of Christ followers, ultimately instilling in God's people patterns of righteous living and a continual recognition of their need for Jesus. 2 Timothy reminds us that by following Jesus, we're inviting pain and vulnerability into our lives. Yet in our trials and suffering, Jesus is not absent. It is through our weakness that his love and faithfulness is made known and compels us to fight the good fight of faith.
The year was 1954. I remember it like it was yesterday. Roger Bannister of Great Britain became the first human being ever to run a mile in under 4 minutes. Several weeks later, John Landy of Australia also accomplished the feat, breaking Bannister's record. So naturally, they needed to have a race. The Miracle Mile, the race of the century as it came to be known, was run later that year with more than 100 million people listening in on the radio. As the men made their final turn around that track with the finish line in sight, Landy in the lead. He turned to look over his left shoulder to see where Bannister was. And as he did so, Bannister passed him on the right and went on to take the prize, to win the race, taking the title as fastest man on the planet. So as we run this race called life, what's awaiting us at the finish line? We talked last week about how what we have to look forward to is that one day in heaven, every nation, tribe, and tongue is going to be represented. We're all going to be gathered together worshiping God and dwelling in perfect relationship with him. We want that end to motivate how we live our lives in the here and now as we start with the end in mind. And so last week we talked about 1 Timothy. Today we'll be in 2 Timothy if you want to turn there. We'll also be a little bit in Philippians today as well. And we took a look at, and we're taking a look at today, Paul and Timothy's relationship. They have a very special father-son-like relationship where Paul has poured into Timothy and has taught him many things while Timothy follows and listens and learns. So many good things in that relationship. And as a reminder of what we said last week, no matter how old or young we are, each of us can be a Paul and each of us can be a Timothy. Timothy's are those who are younger or less mature in their faith, and Paul's are those who are older or more mature in their faith. Last week, we looked at how to be a Timothy, and today we'll focus on how to be a Paul. And so as we did last week with Timothy and talking about the importance of finding a Paul, today we're going to talk about the importance of finding a Timothy. And so as we spend our time together in 2 Timothy today, we're going to be looking at really two main things. One, as a Paul, what does it look like for me to have a Timothy in my life? How do I invest in Timothy? And then also, as a Paul, how does it look like for me to grow in my Paulness? Yes, I made that word up. I made up Timothy-ness last week, so it's fine. So, find a Timothy. This is just where it all begins, as a Paul. We want to find a Timothy. We know that there are Timothys out there who are self-motivated and they will initiate with a Paul. But as a Paul, it is up to you to initiate with a Timothy. Look for those people around you who maybe are in need of a Paul and tell them that you want to invest in them. And don't take this lightly. It is a commitment that you ought to give your all. You want to know what to look for in them? Look for someone who is faithful, available, and teachable. Look for someone who is thirsting to know God better and is willing to take steps in order to grow in their relationship with him. And even think about the things we talked about last week, those habits of a highly effective Timothy, looking for someone who is chasing after God, living upon the truth of the word, embracing who God has made them to be, using their gifts, running the race before them, and taking hold of what God has in store. Now you may be wondering, once I find a Timothy, now what? What are my next steps with them? How do I, as a Paul, invest in a Timothy? And I want to give you a few ideas. First, simply do life together. Do life together. I love how Paul shares about his relationship with Timothy. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 11 and 14. He says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it." How would Timothy know all of these things about Paul? From spending time with him, from being around him, from doing life together, as Paul has taught Timothy and has set an example for him. And Paul is simply following the example that Jesus set. Jesus modeled that with his own disciples. He spent 3 years doing life and ministry with his disciples. So Paul is simply following that example. Do life with and spend time with your Timothy. Just as Timothy learned so much from Paul from being around him, doing life, doing ministry, the same can be true for you. And this isn't something that happens overnight. It takes time. It takes intentionality. It's a process. Do life together. Secondly, we want to speak truth, challenge, and encourage. In the book of Philippians, as Paul's writing to the church in Philippi, he's actually describing to this church his relationship with Timothy and what an awesome guy Timothy is. This is what he has to say. He says, "I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel." Timothy is a man who humbles himself. He does what's asked of him, serves others, and puts their needs above his own as he seeks to make the gospel known. And yet, he still had so much to learn. As like a father to a son, Paul spoke truth into Timothy's life. He challenged him. He spoke from his own experiences to encourage him. As Paul's, we need to encourage and challenge our Timothy's. I truly believe that you can't grow until you're pushed out of your comfort zone and you're given opportunities to depend on God and be used by him. They're humbling experiences, but God can use them in incredible ways. As a Paul, be there to push your Timothy, but also to encourage and to celebrate them as you see them successfully walking with God. Third, we want to set good, godly examples for our Timothys. Set a good example. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 and 5, Paul says this, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." In other words, do your job and do it well as you persevere through whatever comes your way and learn what you can from those experiences and then pass them on. It's hard to expect much out of someone else if you aren't doing those things yourself. Paul is charging Timothy with these things because these are things that he himself is doing. As a Paul, you need to be setting a good, godly example for your Timothy, because if you're not, how can you expect them to do the same for others? And you might say, "Well, I'm not perfect. I screw up." And I'd say, you're absolutely right. None of us is perfect. So when you screw up, when you sin, set a good, godly example in how you respond. Own up to it. Confess it. Seek to depend on the Holy Spirit to keep you from doing it again as you walk in all righteousness. In the good and the bad, set a good godly example for your Timothy. And what this all points to, ultimately what it's all about as a Paul, is multiplication. You want to multiply so that your Timothy can multiply. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul says this, "The things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." And if you look closely at this verse, there are actually four generations of believers in this verse. Paul, who passes things down to Timothy, who passes things on to reliable men, who pass things on to others. Paul wanted Timothy to pass on what he knew to other people. And even before he knew Paul and he was a part of his ministry, Timothy was a part of a legacy of godliness with both a grandmother and a mother who were strong in their faith. But it's meant to be carried on. It goes beyond us. Ultimately, your role as a Paul is to multiply, to pass on what you know for others to do the same. You're not here on this earth forever. And so we want to make the most of that and pass on what we've learned. When you're looking for a Timothy, look for someone who is willing to multiply their lives into those around them and pass on what they know. So as a Paul, what is my role with Timothy? What do I do? How do I invest in them? I find a Timothy and do life together. I speak truth, challenge, encourage, and point to Jesus through the way that I set a good godly example as I live my life. And be sure to multiply your life so that they can do the same. Now, let's focus on Paul for a second. How do we seek to grow in our Paulness? We've got Timothy in our life. How do we seek to grow in our Paulness? And I want to give you three specific areas this morning in which you can grow in your Paulness. And remember to bring Timothy along with you as you walk through this. So this verse, I'm going to read in just a moment, 2 Timothy 4:7, really is perhaps the most common verse, most well-known verse in 2 Timothy. And it's going to kind of outline the rest of our time together. And so this is what Paul says. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith." 2 Timothy, these words, this letter, these are some of Paul's final words before he is killed. And to have that kind of perspective is remarkable. I don't know about you, but I know I want to be able to get to the end of my life and honestly say these words and mean them, that I've fought the good fight and I've finished the race and I've kept the faith. And so we're going to break this down for the next few minutes. Fighting the good fight. Fight the good fight. What does that look like? Well, contrary to how it might sound, this is not a phrase that we often use to talk about physically fighting. Rather, it's usually one that we use when we talk about tirelessly doing what is right. You know him out there, always in the world, fighting the good fight. There's a perseverance and a faithfulness that comes with this. In a world full of bad fights, chaos, fear, lies, and evil, it isn't always a popular or an easy decision to fight the good fight. And yet, that's precisely what is demanded of us. That is why we have the Holy Spirit to depend upon as we fight the good fight. It's intimidating, and it's scary. So often we don't feel that we have what it takes. And Paul reminds Timothy of this in 2 Timothy 1:7. He says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of fear, but rather a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." You don't need to be afraid. You have what it takes because God has given you the strength and the power to do just that as you fight the good fight. So what or who is it that you are fighting for? What are you putting your energy towards? Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a group of people. Maybe it's a cause. Who are you pouring into so that they know they are loved and cared for? Remember that it's ultimately about living godly lives and making Jesus known. We want to fight the good fight. Second, finish the race. Finish the race. We mentioned this last week, that one of the most prominent metaphors Paul uses throughout his letters is that of athletes and a race. And it's something that many of us can relate to. And even if running isn't your thing, maybe it's sports or competition, most of us can relate to that in some nature. Last week, we talked about running the race as a Timothy. And so today, we're talking about finishing the race. Because if you're running, you better run to finish. And Paul describes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. This is this race that Paul is running. He says this, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize." Many of these things that we see in How to Be a Paul are simply continuations of how to be a Timothy. Again, we want to not just run the race, but finish it. Paul lived with perseverance and endurance, even in the face of suffering. He was willing to sacrifice for the ultimate good, knowing that his surrender was bringing about something far greater. Anyone who has gotten into training, running, working out, or some other discipline understands what that looks like. Running the race well means running with purpose. It means keeping your eyes fixed on that finish line, knowing you've got Jesus as the prize waiting for you. When we start ourselves on the right track with our eyes fixed on that finish line, we will find success as we reach the end. There are countless examples of track runners who run that race and look to the side, they veer out of their lane, they lose focus of the finish, and it costs them. That story of John Landy and Roger Bannister earlier is a perfect example of that. We cannot be like that. We cannot let up. We cannot lose focus of the prize. We cannot lose focus of Jesus. We need to have our eyes fixed on him to persevere to the end, to finish the race. And while this isn't so much about a race against other people, we're not trying to beat other people to Jesus. We do have an opponent, the devil, who tries to do everything in his power to sabotage our race, to distract us, to trip us, to bring us down. It is his goal to keep you from crossing that finish line. He hates it when we cross the finish and receive the reward waiting for us, eternal relationship with Jesus. And the cool thing about running this race called life, as you run towards that finish line with your eyes fixed on Jesus, you also get to pass the torch to another runner so that they can carry it on. I can stand here today because other people will pass things on to me, because other people will pass things on to them. It reminds me of the Olympic torch. One person cannot carry it the entire distance. But as each person does their part, as each person runs their race and then passes the torch on, marvelous things are achieved. As a Paul, you may run your race well and fix your eyes on Jesus, but you cannot forget to pass the torch to a Timothy as you do so. Don't let that flame die out with you. This goes back to what we talked about earlier regarding having that Timothy and investing in them. Believers have been doing this for generations, making disciples who make disciples who make disciples, and that is why we can be here today. I love how the writer of Hebrews describes this. After spending all of chapter 11 talking about people of great faith, people who have run and finished the race, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." I don't know about you, but I want to be like that. I want to throw off those hindrances and run with perseverance with my eyes fixed on Jesus. I want to finish the race. Thirdly, keep the faith. Keep the faith. To keep the faith is to continue to believe in and trust Jesus. Rather than losing your faith, it's about staying strong, remaining and abiding in him, and faithfully walking with him no matter what life sends your way. I mentioned this verse last week, I'll reiterate. Paul tells the Corinthians, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And so as a Paul, you need to be walking with Jesus and following him. If you want to fight the good fight well and finish the race, then you need to keep the faith. And it comes from a few different things that we'll kind of glaze over here in the last few minutes that we've got together. One of which is scripture. We talked a lot about this last week. And so I encourage you to give a listen to last week's message as well as kind of a precursor to today's conversation. But Paul talks a lot about scripture and the importance of holding to the truth and rejecting the lies and how Timothy grew up in the scriptures. We ought to be so much in the word and knowing God's word. It allows us to know him better and is such a great foundation for how we can keep the faith. As we know him better, it allows us to better bring him glory in living out the good works for which he has called and equipped us. And what that drives us to is something that I think is one of the greatest joys and privileges that God gives us, and that's proclaiming the gospel. You keep the faith by giving it away. Isn't that so counterintuitive? You keep the faith by giving it away. It's like when you're growing up and you're challenged to help a classmate with their homework. You learn the material better simply through teaching it. Or many of you probably are experiencing this now with your own kids and helping them with their homework. Helps you to learn those things better or relearn them in a lot of cases, right? When we share the gospel with others, it not only helps them learn and grow and become more like Jesus, have the opportunity to know him, but it also helps strengthen our own faith as we come to know God better and understand how great life with him can be. And I love how Paul describes this in his letter to Philemon. Verse 6, he says, "I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ." We have so many great things in Christ, and it helps us to know those things better when we share about him with others. And there is great reward in store for us. At the end, we talked about this prize awaiting us at the finish line is Jesus. And it's amazing that not only do we get Jesus at the end, we get him in the here and now in this lifetime. We get relationship with him. It's incredible. But we want to keep our eyes fixed on that finish line. And this is where the idea of eternal perspective comes in. Eternal perspective. Am I focusing on earthly things or on heavenly things? Am I motivated by my time here on earth or my time in heaven? If you think of eternity as an infinitely long line, then our lives, our 60, our 70, 80, or however many years we've got, are just a small dot on that line. Am I living for the dot or am I living for the line? This is why I've been saying we want to start with the end in mind. If I know what the end holds in store, if I know what it is that I'm working towards, then I'm going to do my best to live my life in such a way that it brings about that result, that I get Jesus at the end. The end goal of being a Timothy is to be a Paul. And the end goal of being a Paul as I pour into new Timothys is to fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. We must keep our eyes fixed on the prize, on Jesus, the reward we receive at the end. If that doesn't motivate us, then I don't know what will. Last passage we're going to look at this morning. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. And this is Paul describing what this has looked like for him. It says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And then skipping down to verse 20, he continues. He says, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." In other words, as citizens of heaven, that's where our eternity is found. That's what we have to look forward to. That's what we have awaiting us at the finish. And so I'm going to forget what's behind and I'm going to strain towards what's ahead. I'm going to finish that race. I'm going to keep that faith as I fight the good fight. When I consider all of this, the word that comes to mind for me is the word legacy. Legacy. I remember this being an idea communicated to me a lot in high school and again in college. What was the legacy I was going to leave behind for those following me? When people think of me or talk about me, even after I'm gone, what comes to mind? As Paul's, it is up to us to leave a positive, godly legacy of fighting the good fight, finishing the race, and keeping the faith, to leave behind many Timothys that I have poured into. And ultimately, my legacy is pointing towards the God that I have served through it all as I've sought to be faithful and bring him glory. So, we want to start with the end in mind. To know what that finish line looks like and allow that to motivate us as we run this race. And as you run this race of life, I want you to think about something. Are you going to be a Landy? Someone who gets distracted, who looks away, who loses sight, who loses focus of Jesus and the prize and the finish line? Or are you going to be a Bannister who perseveres to the end, who runs this race, eyes fixed on Jesus, eyes fixed on the finish, knowing that we get Jesus along the way, and that as you get to the end, you get to pass the torch on to others? We get to pass this torch to other people throughout the course of our lives. Are you going to be a Landy or are you going to be a Bannister? What do you want your legacy to be? When people think of you, what comes to mind? What do you want to be true of you when the end of your life comes? Let's pray. God, you are so, so good to us. The fact that we can have the reward of eternal relationship with you waiting for us at the end of this life, and to know that we get relationship with you even here and now on this earth in this lifetime, there's nothing greater. Lord, I pray that we would be motivated by the things of heaven, that we would be motivated by the things of you rather than the temporary things here on this earth. Lord, help each one of us, no matter where we're at spiritually, no matter where we're at physically, to be poured into as Timothy's and to find others to pour into as Paul's, that we could pass the torch on to others as we fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. Lord, help us to persevere to the end in your strength, keeping our eyes fixed on you. As we go from this place, Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of us, something that you would have us take from this place. Grow each one of us and make us more like you. God, in this day, we give you praise for who you are. You're so awesome to us, and we love you. It's in your powerful and precious name we pray. Amen.